We're here at the Farm Progress Show. With me is Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And Congressman King, last time we talked was at World Pork Expo here in Iowa. We talked a little bit about what was going on in Congress then. Has anything changed since then?
Well, some things have changed, I guess. We've got some work done. We put a number of jobs bills over on Harry Reid's desk, and they're blended in with 350-plus bills over there. So, yes, the House has been doing some work, and we need to get some things moved through the Senate to the president's desk. But it's the nature of the political gridlock that exists when, when Democrats run the Senate and Republicans run the House. And the president has been, I think he and Harry Reid just blocked the legislation we passed. So we do the best we can with what we have to work with, and public opinion can get stronger. We could use more help out here and from people more involved.
Well, also what we talked about then was really an issue that was just coming to the fore at that time, and that was the EPA's Waters of the United States rule. And since then, it has really been just all over the place. And we've seen Gina McCarthy out here in farm country trying to defend this. We've got an EPA guy coming out here.
He's going to be around the neighborhood here within a half hour or so.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen with this? We've got some, had some legislation come out of the House that's saying, that they're trying to really head this whole thing off at the pass and try and block EPA from even implementing this rule, even though it's still in the comment period.
Well, and that becomes one of those things that we have a lot of trouble getting through the Senate. But I'm glad that we have an EPA administrator here at the Farm Progress Show today, and I'm very confident that he's having conversations, hearing from us and what we think of this, especially, going to the RFS, but Waters of the United States, both of those are big issues that the EPA is standing right in the way of agriculture progress. And with the renewable fuel standard, my point to Carl Brooks and Gina McCarthy and anybody that'll listen within the EPA or outside the EPA is that we have the largest corn crop ever out there. Granted, it's not in the bin, but Chicago thinks it is. We can tell that by looking at the markets. So we've got to get it in the bin, but it'll be the largest crop ever. And what are we going to do with all of this corn if you've got the EPA ratcheting down the renewable fuel standard? The law says 14.4 billion gallon, and it goes up each year. I don't know how they go back and since they issued their rule, opened it up for the comment period. We weighed in on those comments and did so, I think, in a fairly aggressive way. Now I think they're obligated to at least review what we had to say, but I'm adding to that in this discussion we're having here. I don't know any rational way that you take a look at the largest crop ever and markets that are have dropped 60% of where they were at their peaks and then conclude somehow that we need to lower the renewable fuel standard from the law, from where the law is. No, if that's going to happen, Congress would have to make that decision, not the EPA. And I don't think Congress is inclined to lower the RFS. So I'm glad that Carl Brooks is here to hear from producers and get an on-the-ground understanding of what's going on.
Well, the governor of Iowa here this week made comments that he thinks that the proposed rule from from EPA on the RFS has hurt jobs because we've seen layoffs just in the last week at two Iowa John Deere plants. How do you feel about that? You think that this is going to hurt the farm economy and hurt jobs, which is what the RFS was meant to help?
I was glad the governor said what he said. I agree with him. When I heard him say it the first time, I thought he's stating the obvious. But sometimes you have to state the obvious, and the governor knew that. I'm glad he did. And I will just say that the EPA rolling back the RFS and sending this message to the markets throughout most of this marketing year has suppressed our markets, and it has diminished the expectations of the demand for corn that we'll have. When that happens and markets go down, farmers don't buy new equipment. There's another thing going on in Congress, and that's whether we're going to do the tax extenders or aren't we. That affects John Deere and Case IH and the other manufacturers too. But I'll say that the RFS has significantly more impact than the tax extenders do. I think the governor's right. I think it's costing jobs in Iowa. It's also costing a lot of profitability. And when that 60-plus percent has been cut out of our grain prices, that doesn't mean I think all of it would be there if the RFS were back, but it would be stronger than it is. And when that happens, that's capital going in. It shows up on the bottom line of our producers, and they spend that money, and that's what creates the jobs.
Immigration has been a big issue with you, as well as with agriculture. Your stance on immigration reform has been, you know, that we really don't need to do it the way, especially the Senate and perhaps the administration would like to see it done. But where do you feel that we are at this point? Are we going to get anything done on that before the end of this year?
Well, the immigration issue came down to a border bill at the, the first couple of days in August. And I was very, very engaged in that. I went down to the border and spent several days down there. I've made multiple trips to the border and, of course, sat on the committee for years and probably listened to more testimony, read more reports, and commissioned more reports than anybody in Congress. I was in my guess on these things. It's been my job. It's fallen to me to do that. And here's what I see is tens of thousands of unaccompanied alien juveniles being human trafficked, smuggled into the United States by coyotes in Central America, especially, that have set up an industry because they're exploiting a loophole in a law that was passed in the dark of the night by voice vote under Nancy Pelosi's direction and over to Harry Reid. President Bush signed it. Now it's ecumenical to me in my criticism of this. But that little loophole in the law turns these juveniles over to Health and Human Services, who have now expanded that into something never imagined, and it should not be supported by the American people, and that is hauling these juveniles anywhere they want to go in America, including Hawaii and Alaska. So Health and Human Services is completing the crime of human trafficking, and they're no longer smuggling. They're just human trafficking out in the open. There, and most of, 83% of these juveniles are 15, 16, and 17 years old. So they are of age to cause a lot of trouble. And I mean, if anybody's ever raised teenagers, we didn't take them from the most violent countries in the world when that happened, and it still was a big enough problem. And so we have that going on, plus hundreds of thousands of people who are of age coming into America, and an administration that has decided we are not going to secure the border. I'm glad that Governor Rick Perry has decided he is going to secure the border. And what did that get him? I think we know. Attorney General, District Attorney shenanigans down there is as nice as I can put it. We passed a law in the House. And it was one that failed to gain the support that it needed. I had offered amendments the night before. Our own leadership wouldn't allow me to even bring the amendments to the floor or have the debate. I said, if my amendments are debated and voted on, they will pass, and the bill will pass. If they are not, the bill will fail. And, of course, the bill failed. And then I sat in the negotiating room and put my language into the negotiations. The next day, we took the bill out and passed it. It's a good bill. It fixes the loophole in the 2008 law that should shut off this flow of the coyotes industry and the completion of the crime by Health and Human Services once they get to the United States. It shuts off the funding to DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That's another magnet for people to come into America. And it also it shuts off the Morton memos, which essentially say the president is not going to allow them to enforce the law against people illegally here unless they've committed a felony or three misdemeanors, serious misdemeanors. So we sent money directly to the border states to call out their National Guard, rather than send it through the White House where it gets strings attached to it and it makes it dysfunctional. We didn't want to send dysfunctional money down there. We sent functional money directly to the states. So that bill will be now trumpeted on the floor of the Senate, and they're going to try mightily to get that up for a debate. Whether they get it done or not, who knows? Harry Reid's not going to want to do this. But that's where the immigration issue sets. The balance of all of these things is pretty clear that no immigration reform, the kind of amnesty that we've seen pass the Senate, is going to move in the House this year. John Boehner's made that very clear. That means not until midnight December 31st when he says this year. This calendar year is what he means. And so I'm satisfied with that promise, and I expect he will keep it. Let's secure the border first, and then we'll talk.
So now, as far as that's concerned, is there a balance there between what agriculture wants to see as far as guest workers compared to, you know, going the whole gamut to amnesty or at least a path to citizenship. Is there a way to get agriculture what they need as far as guest workers is concerned?
You know, agriculture is the place you would go in America. It's the first place you'd look for common sense, isn't it? I mean, I don't know where else you'd go. If somebody said, Steve King, you need to get out and go find the heart of common sense, I would go to the family farm. I would go to agriculture. I'd go to this soil that inspires us, and our roots go down into it, and our toes wiggle in it, and it's stuck to our boots today. That's where I would go. So I would say the common sense of agriculture should look around a country and realize that we need to be about building a stronger country. Well, there are 104.1 million Americans of working age who are simply not in the workforce. Granted, some of them are in the inner city. Some of them are retired. Some of them are physically unable, and some are homemakers, and some are in school. It still leaves tens of millions that are available to put to work. So why would we go to a foreign country to import people with no skills, that don't speak our language, that know nothing about America, and bring them here and say, do this work, when you've got 104 million Americans that are available for work? Why not recruit them? And that's my challenge to the agriculture world. They won't do the work. Uh-huh. Tell me a job that Americans won't do, and I will take you there and show you Americans doing it. That's never been true. They want to follow the path of least resistance. That's the nature of business. And so if we allow for tens of millions of illegal immigrants to come into America, they will want to work and take care of themselves. They will work cheaper than Americans will. That's the equation. And so it's the combination of open borders and unwillingness to enforce the law. And, you know, I understand this. I spent my life in the construction business. We're in the 40th construction season for King Construction. We do a lot of hard work. We work when it's 60 below wind chill. We work when it's 126 degrees heat index. We're out there doing all kinds of work that supposedly Americans won't do. And I know the temptation to hire illegal aliens to come onto your crew because they're happy to have a job, they will do the work, and they'll work for less than the other guy. When you do that, though, you're eroding the rule of law in America, and you're contributing to the decline of the country, not the ascendancy of our destiny.
I know there's other people who want to interview you, sir. It's a pleasure to see you here. Thank you for coming to the Farm Progress Show.